We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday in Brevard County, and God is good. Amen. I'm Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM if you are listening at 10:30 of a morning. And we are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us here as we are discussing the Word of God, the peace of God, and we're going to be looking at that becoming a reality in our life. We're in Galatians chapter 5, so if you want to be turning there, and as you do, we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, area code 321-632-9538. If you have used them in the past, you want to make sure that you've got this number down, because this is the correct number. It's been the correct number for a number of years now, but there was an older number and it won't get you to the right people. So, 321-632-9538. They are here in Central Brevard County and they can get you fixed up. They have done electric work for me. And they do a great, great job. And if you need air conditioning work, you can call them as well. And if you need your heater worked on right now, I want to ask you to check the temperature outside. You might just need to open up your windows. So it's been a little warm here in the summertime in Florida. And so no matter where you are in the county, south to north, if you, it doesn't matter if you have a mobile home, if you have a package unit, one of those new split units, or a traditional condensing unit and air handler, whatever you've got, they can come and resolve your issues. So give them a call today, 321-632-9538. You will be glad that you did. So we want to invite you out to our services this coming Sunday at Merritt Assembly of God. I will be returning from California tonight and excited about that. Have never done this before. I'll be traveling on a red-eye flight. And so I moved my flight up to tonight so that I would have opportunity to recharge for tomorrow, all day on Saturday, so that I would be fresh and ready to go on Sunday morning. And so I'm looking forward to sharing the word Sunday morning at 10:30 and also Sunday night at 6:30. We're studying the miracles that Jesus did on Sunday night out of the book of Matthew. And this coming Wednesday, we will be starting. I've got one of the men of our church. He is beginning a study on Wednesday night on the book of James. So we've had some reassignments of classes that have taken place over this from May until now. And so if you would join us in praying for laborers to come into the harvest field, and that God would increase my ability to raise up teachers, that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. We may not be a large church numerically, but it is, that certainly does not mean that we are a boring church. We have a great number of ministries that go on, Sunday school for kids, Sunday school for teenagers, Sunday school for adults. We have ladies ministry, men's ministry. We've got youth ministry, Bible study, prayer meetings, intercessory prayer meetings, radio program. We got a lot that goes on. And, so if somebody comes and says, well, you know, you don't have this program, it's not because we don't want to have it. It's because that we're praying for God to send in the laborers that would make that ministry possible. So with that in mind, if you are looking for a place to serve, we encourage you to pray about it. If you do not have a church home, we encourage you to come and check out Merit Assembly of God. You know, when my wife and I came to Brevard County, it was 28 years ago. We walked into a church that was completely and totally staffed with ministers. And our one prayer was, God, if you're taking us to Florida to work in the shoe industry, you're going to have to open up a door for ministry. So we walked into this church, and did not seem as if it was going to be the church we ended up at, because they just had an entire stable of ministers. Little did we know that they were planning on planting a church in the coming months, and that God was going to make a way for us. We didn't know that. The first Sunday that we visited was not a five-star weekend on the scale of the way that the world tells you that you are supposed to receive guests and things like that. It had a few hiccups along the way. And it would be, if I told you some of the things that happened, you would say, we wouldn't go to a church like that. And I would tell you, you would if God called you to that church. Too many times we use carnal excuses for not saying yes to God. And so when God was making a way for us to come to Merit Assembly of God, it was not presented in a glorious manner at all. There were some problems that they didn't tell us about, but they told us about a lot. And I was getting ready to give one of those spiritual answers that I just talked about, of saying, well, you know what, that doesn't fit me. That's not going to work for all of these reasons. And right in the middle of forming the words, let me pray about that, which was code for, well, you know, I don't want to tell you no right now, but I'm going to tell you no here in a day or two. God spoke to me and said, I've been telling you that this was coming. I mean, I was ready to say, let me pray about it. And didn't even know the church existed. Never seen it. Didn't know anything at all about it. And God told me, he said, I've been telling you this was coming. And so say yes. And 24 and a half years later, we're still here. So don't just rule out a small church just because it's a small church. Don't rule out a church because it just doesn't have what your flesh is looking for at that time. It could be that God is positioning you where there is a need that you might be able to meet. And so so much for today's church assignment little spiel. By the way, whenever visitors come, one of the first things that we do is we pray for them. We pray that God would lead them to the exact place, the exact church that God would have them to serve. And so there are, you know, we don't pray a selfish prayer. God, we want to thank you for bringing them to Merit Assembly of God. Now make them stay. That's not the way that we pray. I've had people that I didn't think were ever going to return, and they said, you know what, God's called us here to help you, and we're going to stay. And then there have been others that I thought were here to help, and they didn't make it as long as what I had hoped, but we pray God's blessing and direction upon them. So we are talking about Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and that is the fruit that we are talking about right now, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. On yesterday's broadcast, we defined the word shalom, that it means safe, it means salvation, it means it well, happy, friendly, a condition of wellness, health, prosperity, peace, fullness, and completeness. And so those are all some of the things that it means when we are looking at this concept of peace. On an earlier broadcast, we looked at the fact that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there is to be no end. It is supposed to be overtaking area of your life. The peace of God will overwhelm your sorrow. It will overwhelm your anxiety. It will overwhelm your fear. And we talked about that he is not only the Prince of Peace, but he is the Lord of Peace. He will be with you always, and he will give you all peace, and he is the God of all peace. And so we say amen to that. We've talked about that. On yesterday's broadcast, we talked about Genesis chapter 15, verse number 15, is the first reference to peace in the Bible. And it is mentioned in conjunction with the covenant that God made with Abram. And so if we want peace, we need to first walk in covenant with God. And I find it very intriguing that the concept of peace with God precedes the aspect of peace with men. Okay? And so once we have peace with our Creator in line, it is a lot easier to be at peace with other people. If we are at odds with God, if we are not experiencing peace and wholeness in every area of our created being, then we're going to find it very easy to be at odds with other people. The second reference, as I did my search, is found in Genesis, the 26th chapter. Genesis, the 26th. And a lot of times as you look at these things, you see a verse and you say, well, that's got something interesting about it. And, as I began to research it, I found it became much more interesting. So let me take you to Genesis, the 26th chapter. It's my first morning with my new mouth, or my first morning with my old mouth, whichever one. And so this is concerning Isaac. So let me take you back to verse number 16. Let me take you a little further back. Let me take you to verse number 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, which literally means quarrel, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also, so he called its name Sitna, which means enmity. And he moved on from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he called its name Rehoboth, which means spaciousness. Because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night, and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abram's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, 'Let there now be an oath between us and between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So he called it Sheba, which means oath or seven. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day, and that means well of the oath or well of the seven. And that's where we're going to end the reading. So just like we saw yesterday in the covenant that God created with Abraham when he was still Abram, that led to a pronouncement that he was going to end his life here on earth and make his journey to eternity. He was going to make that journey in peace. Now we find that Isaac enters into covenant with God. By the way, it was said that Abraham had interceded for Ishmael and asked for Ishmael to be blessed. And God said, "I will indeed bless Ishmael because of your prayers, but my covenant will be with Isaac." See, covenant, I believe it is an underappreciated concept in modern Christianity. Covenant is something where you are all in. All of my successes and all of my failures, all of my assets and all of my liabilities have now become God's because we entered into covenant. In the same process, all that he is and all that he has and all that he does have been made available to me as well, because he's also entered into covenant with me. It is not like a modern merger where one company takes over another one, assumes all of their assets and liabilities, and then begins to sell off assets, consolidates their debt into all of these subsidiaries, and then sells them off, and then they end up with no debt in the process. And in the other, and the end result is the other party ends up bankrupted. That's not what covenant is. Covenant is a relationship that has no end. Marriage is a covenant that is only ended in death. A covenant with God, because he's going to live forever and we're going to live forever. It is a covenant that God has no intention on ever ending. And so he enters into covenant with Isaac. And, I find it odd. I find the Philistines' behavior very odd, that in a region that is dependent upon finding water sources, why they would come along and clog up all of these wells. I don't understand that at all. But Isaac went out and he redug the wells and called them by name, and people started quarreling with him and fighting over the whose water it was. And Isaac just kept moving on to another spot, and God kept providing for him until he finally had dug a well, and God had made room for him and for all that he had, and it was called Rehoboth. And my wife said that she was at a beach, Rehoboth Beach. I believe it's in Delaware. And I said, "Well, I know what that means. That means spaciousness. God has made room for us in the land. And I want you to know that he's made room for you, and he's made room for me at his table. And it doesn't matter what the superficial conditions look like. Beneath the surface, there is a pool of resources, a pool of blessings that God has for you, that if you and I will walk in covenant with him, it is going to be well with us. This journey, this digging of the wells and fighting over the wells and then digging over a well and fighting over a well and then digging a well and nobody fights with you over that, that all came about because God was prospering Isaac to the point that the Philistines said that they were too powerful for him and or for them, and they sent him away. And I pray that God would cause us to abound to such an extent that people would realize that they can no longer intimidate the body of Christ and no longer intimidate the church. I believe that for too long we have just basically left creativity and ingenuity to the parts of the world that are not in walking in covenant relationship with God. I believe that that the ability to create wealth belongs to the church, and we should walk in that. And we need to be praying, say, God, make me innovative. One of my favorite historical personnel is George Washington Carver. In the South, they had a bumper crop of peanuts, but they didn't have that much they could do with peanuts. And so George Washington Carver would go and he would shut himself in to a laboratory, and he would begin to pray. And he said, God, I'm not coming out of this lab until you have given me breakthrough. You have given me the ability that is going to take this abundance that I have and it's going to make it profitable. George Washington Carver was such a brilliant mind that Thomas Edison offered him extravagant sums of money that would be used in today's terms only with dollar values from decades and decades ago, over 100 years ago. I mean, just crazy sums of money because he had such a brilliant mind. I love George Washington Carver. And so Isaac had become blessed, and then they dig this well. God, Isaac has entered into covenant with God, and then all of a sudden the Philistines show up. And the Philistines show up, and Isaac has said, you sent me away, you hated me, why are you here? And they said, we have come to enter into covenant with you. Listen to what it says. We have done you no harm. We don't want you to do us any harm. We haven't touched you. We've done nothing but good to you. And we sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Okay? Now, I will tell you this. Whenever a person comes to another person and asks to enter into covenant with them, the reason that the Philistines did that were because they recognized the blessing and the peace of God that was upon Isaac. You see, it's not just anybody that when there's a quarrel over water, they just say, okay, you have it. I'll go on and I'll find another place. It's not just anybody that quarrels over the second quarrel over the second well, and they say, okay, you have this one, I'm going to go on and I'll find some other place. God's going to take care of me. And that what they recognized was that God was with him. And they said, we want to enter into a covenant with you so that you do us no harm. They ended up having this tremendous feast. The next day they entered into an oath. And in verse number 31, it says this, and they departed from him in peace. Your journey through life, peace is not just meant for your deathbed. Peace is something that God means for you in the day-to-day journey of your life. It's not just about your relationship with him. It is about your relationship with other people as well. The Bible says that God can make even your enemies to be at peace with you. You and I, if we enter into covenant with him, There are people who are going to see the blessings, the prosperity, the favor of God. They're going to recognize the peace of God. And people, even who maybe there's been some acrimony there and there's been a parting of the ways, they're going to come and they're going to say, we want there to be peace, a lack of harm. We want our relationship. By the way, look at who this is. This is the Philistines. What do you think of when you think of the Philistines? For me, when I think of the Philistines, I think of David and Goliath and the war with the Philistines, all during Saul's reign and during David's reign. I think of people who are constantly in conflict with the children of Israel. And here, at the very beginning of this, hundreds of years before the children of Israel come back into the promised land, here, the very foundation of the relationship was a covenant of peace, where they said, we want there to be no harm. We want our relationship to be one void of conflict. We want there to be one where it is about covenant, that you and I can have our journey through this life in peace. I've made this statement to our congregation. I will fight for the peace of God. I will fight for the unity of the brethren. Psalm 133 says that there where brethren dwell together in unity is the place of commanded blessing. And so I will do whatever is necessary to maintain the bond of peace and the spirit of unity as much as I can. I can't make somebody who doesn't want to be at peace with me be at peace with me. I can't do that. God can. I can't. I can just be responsible for my own self. And what Isaac did when those people departed from him in peace is they found another well, and he had prepared an altar there. Verse number 25, it says he had built an altar where he was, and then they continued to find more and more favor with God. You want peace with God? I encourage you to spend more time talking to him. You want peace with men? Make peace with God. Allow him to be your Prince of Peace, your Lord of Peace, your God of Peace. Allow him to be with you. Allow his government to increase and his peace increase in your life. And you will find that you've got other people saying, you know what? We don't know what's going on with you, but whatever you got, we know this. We don't want you as our enemy. Amen. How many of you know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness in high places. So we need peace. Amen. Father, I pray for this weekend, Lord, that every person listening to this program would have the peace of God that passes understanding being manifest in every area of their life. Lord, may we walk in a covenant of peace with you. See you on Monday, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I will sing. The passion in my